As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, I'm a seagull, go fuck yourself.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey, yo.
We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Nora will be so happy you used that cold open, JD. That was one of her favorites.
It made me so happy to see that cold open. As soon as you see a bird walking that fast, it's funny. It's already funny.
It's very true.
So true.
A hearty hello to the stream team joining us live on YouTube right now. Like, comment, subscribe, share. Do us a favor. Let's beat the YouTube algorithm. Email us your questions and comments for tomorrow's Beach Steppin' podcast. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com to email in your cues and your comments, or you can drop them in the YouTube comments or tweet them into @NoDunksInc. And immaculate items, always available for sale at NoDunks.com. There it is. Look at that. Good. Oh, I was going to wear that Knicks No Dunks shirt today, but maybe tomorrow. So there you go. Go to NoDunks.com, get your gear. And then finally, guys, we want to shout out some of our fans. And all you have to do is share your favorite No Dunks moment on the Shuffle app, okay? We've talked about this before, and if you share it this week, we're going to show you some love on Friday's show. It's as simple as that. Just get the Shuffle app, go get it at the App Store, find our show, No Dunks, and then share your favorite moment. It's sort of like TikTok for podcasts, is the best way to explain it. You can share like little clips, little funny moments from the show here. So that's all you got to do to hear your name on Friday's Drop podcast. We're going to throw a link in the show notes, and I think we'll even throw a link right there in the chat, Trey, in the stream teamers.
Oh, it's there, buddy.
So click on that, have some fun with it, find your favorite moments from the show, and then you'll get a shout-out on Friday's show. It's that simple.
Wow, shout-outs simple. Are back.
Yeah, that's right. Shout-outs are back, JD. Shuffle shout-outs this Friday for everybody that does that. Okay, so we're going to have a little fill-in-the-blank fun, because they're going to be naming the All-Star Reserves tonight on TNT, but that's later in the show. We'll start with some of the games from last night, our big takeaways. I think the most shocking victory last night, or game, was the Wizards winning their fifth straight. What? As they held off the Lakers 127-124 in overtime. Trey, my man, what's your big takeaway from this one?
This is a weird game, Skeets. I don't know which is more surprising, the Wizards winning five straight or that the Lakers have lost three straight. They've lost four of five. Somehow both of these are true. Obviously, no Anthony Davis for the Lakers, no Dennis Schroeder as well, but the Lakers were still up by 17 in this one. It was an early third quarter lead. You know how I feel about first half leads. If you're getting a 17-point lead in the first 2 minutes of the second half, I don't know. It's not technically a first half lead, but close enough. Nonetheless, the Lakers took their foot off the gas, but they still had a chance to win. LeBron had an and one at the rim with a few seconds left. But Lee, it's the loneliest place on earth. Missed the free throw that would have given the Lakers the lead and the win. Game goes into overtime, and then it was just Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. The Wizards scored 12. Six of them were from Beal. Six of them were from Westbrook. They had 33 and 32, respectively. It's the Wizards' fifth straight win for the first time since March of 2017. Whoa. Crazy stuff. What else are you taking away from this one? I don't know. I don't think that these two teams are going to meet in the finals, so it wasn't necessarily a finals preview. I'm also not super worried about the Lakers not playing well with Anthony Davis missing. You're seeing how valuable he is, especially in that overtime when it just ended up being Beal or Westbrook getting Marc Gasol on a switch, had him on an island. I think AD probably sticks with those guys a little bit better there in an overtime period. Mm-hmm. As long as he's healthy come playoff time, no worries for the Lakers. But right now, the Wizards, they're up to 13th in the Eastern Conference. Sounds like it's still bad. They're only three games out of 10th. They made a run at the play-in tournament last year. They got the last bubble invite last season. I don't know. They weren't as bad as they have been for the start of this season. You know, you can see Westbrook is starting to turn around a little bit here. Rui Hachimura had a really good game last night. Bertans is finding his shot. The Wizards shouldn't be as bad as they were for the first half of the season so far. So, I don't know. Maybe they're going to be trying to get into this wild card tournament. We shall see. People are saying the Wizards are back. Wow. I don't know, but they're pretty close to being back.
In the Eastern Conference, yeah. I don't think they were ever actually technically gone, which was the crazy part, because of just the logjam there. They're like not even like that far back from the sixth seed. You know, when you're looking at the wins list, they may not even like have to play in any sort of play-in tournament to get in here. But yeah, I think the other big thing, you said it there with no AD. Are you worried about the Lakers? Most people are going to be like, come on, no. But we are hearing this narrative now, and he's even being asked about it, Lee, LeBron James, and how many minutes he's playing at, you know, this point in his career, his 18th season, being one of the older guys in the league. He has logged 40-plus minutes four times this month. And, you know, the Lakers and Vogel, they were doing a great job early in the year. Maybe that was because they were winning a lot of games. He was playing some of his less minutes over the last couple of years, LeBron was. You know, they were sort of managing him. He'd just come off the bubble, like whatever it was, 70-plus games prior. But now, you know, 43 and a loss to the Wizards, all of these minutes adding up. I think since the start of the month, he's averaging 38.2 minutes per game in the 11 he's played. And that leads the league, Lee. I mean, so... Again, he's been asked about it. Like, is there any concern here? Like, you're playing a lot of minutes, and now they're coming even in losses. You know, should they be resting you here? And LeBron sort of brushes it off and says, come on, I'm here to play basketball, right? Yeah. You know, it's all part of maybe the MVP narrative and all that, but maybe there's some truth to it. I don't know. I know he's not human, but this is not a good thing, I think, for the Lakers, that he's having to play all these minutes, especially when they're coming in losses this early in the season.
On the surface, yes, I agree. It doesn't look good when LeBron has to play heavy minutes in February. This is usually the month he cruises along, or January, but of course the season started a bit later. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not going to put anything into it, really, because we just know LeBron really does know how to manage his body and how to manage his season. He never runs out of gas in the playoffs when it really counts. So, yes, he's playing a few extra minutes now, and obviously Davis is not there. Schroeder's also out right now as well. So there's a few more, few extra minutes to go around. But they just keep going to overtime as well. They went to a couple there with the Thunder and the Pistons, and now the Wizards as well. So really, all the Lakers have to do is just close these games out. And as we saw, they were up huge last night against a team they should easily beat, even without those couple of players missing. But the Wizards are on a bit of a hot streak right now, so they fought back. But it's LeBron James. We know just too much about him and his career that you never, ever sort of write him off or think that things are going to catch up with him, because they just don't. You know, he's just an incredible player, and he's proven that year in, year out. And his teams tend to go on a bit of a slump like this at some point as well. And that's all it really is. They'll shake this off. I mean, we talk about it all the time. The Lakers don't need the number one seed in the Western Conference. They barely even need home court advantage. They would certainly prefer it. But right now, this is nothing to panic about with a LeBron James team. He'll be fine. They'll be back. But yes, if you look at the box scores and see those minutes, you think that's probably a few more than you would like your 36-year-old to be playing. But he's not a normal 36-year-old. He'll be fine.
Yeah, they were also the Lakers. This is sort of was like this little bad streak here. And I know it's paired with AD not being in the lineup and even Schroeder there. It was sort of inevitable, right? Because they were playing with fire, you know, weeks prior. We kept coming on here just saying, oh, Lakers, sort of played like crap for three quarters, didn't have much defensive effort, then they just turned it on. LeBron did his thing at the end, and they would pull out a victory. We kept saying it was like a broken record. It happened like it felt like five or six games in a row. So eventually that's going to catch up to you. You know, the ball's going to bounce the wrong way a couple of these nights, and, you know, the shots aren't going to fall. I thought LeBron last night, visibly just watching, was either just tired, maybe, or just couldn't give a damn, because the effort he was putting, and I put effort in air quotes, on the defensive end, Lee, I mean, it was just, there was just no helping, it was like not really moving, he was sort of stuck in mud. Again, I don't know if that was part just fatigue, or just not giving a damn, probably a bit of both, but yeah, they were always going to eventually start losing some of these games, is what I'm getting at here, because of just how close those other ones were, and they just kept pulling it out of their ass, pulling it out of their ass. Well, you run out of rabbits to pull out of your ass, as the saying goes, Lee. It's not a saying, for sure.
He lost Westbrook on that last one where Westbrook got the and one. Mm-hmm. That was kind of his man, and he had that lazy sort of didn't really foul, didn't really stop the guy. Well, he did foul, he just didn't really wrap the guy up, which you should do. And then he came down and almost wedgied the bomb to tie it up there as well. So he almost saved his night. He almost got a positive out of the night by giving us a wedgie. But he did a couple of times. But again, that is also something we've just seen a lot from LeBron over the years. There are times where he's just like, I'm just not playing defense here for a few weeks. That's just the way it is. I'll crank it up when I need to. But last night, I mean, they still nearly pulled off this victory. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like all these games where they have been kind of close. I mean, the Nets one really wasn't super close. But otherwise, it just sort of feels like they're not that. It's not as though they're all of a sudden looking susceptible or anything like that. It's more just the sort of LeBron midseason malaise that we've seen time and time again.
Yep. All right, let's keep it going then. The Jazz, they set a record for threes. Again, in the 132-110 blowout of the Hornets. This was, I mean, you see that final score and you're like, oh, this must have been a yawner. It was a close game for three quarters. And then the Jazz caught fire, Lee.
Yeah, I thought the Hornets played the Jazz as well as pretty much anyone's played them in Utah for three quarters this season. They were looking really good, took it to them, scoring pretty easily. But that fourth quarter, the Jazz went 11 for 16 on threes in that period alone.
That'll do it.
Which is incredible. And, you know, for the game, Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, and Georges Niang went 62 points on 19 for 27 from downtown. I think that's the most ever in terms of three-pointers made by a bench in NBA history. So, I mean, that's the thing with the Jazz. Like, they after the game sort of says, oh, we turned up the defensive intensity. And you know, they did. They're a very good defensive team. But when you've got guys shooting 11 for 16 from downtown in a quarter, it's going to be tough. So, the Hornets also lost Gordon Hayward, so a bit shorthanded. But I thought they competed very well, and kind of took it to the Jazz and made the Jazz work for it. But that offensive juggernaut where they get going in transition, where it's just like whoever has the ball apart from Rudy. Mm-hmm. It's like they're firing away, and Georges Niang went 7 for 7 last night. That were the only shots he took were threes. He hit them all. And Joe Ingles hit another 7, tying his career. He can't beat that 7 threes in his career high, Joe. He's done it like 5 or 6 times, I think it is now. That's an impressive performance from a team that, you know, is still on the sort of fringes of convincing people that they are a legit title contender, that they can just really put the foot down when they need to. That's what they need to do. They need to keep on winning and keep showing that like this is not just a sort of like what they had last season where they won all those games against sort of not great opposition. This year feels a little bit more real to it. So, really good fourth quarter from the Jazz to just turn a close game into an absolute blowout.
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear how severe Gordon Hayward's injury is, right? I mean, I haven't seen reports here this morning, but we know he's had obviously a track record of hand issues, right? Last year with the surgery, he had the pinky in the preseason this year. And hopefully you're hoping if you're a Hornets fan, the way he's played in that first year of his huge contract, that it's nothing serious. But man, also, was this the first time we've heard boos all season, Trey? We had the Boo Birds out in Utah
the
for Gordon Hayward. Sort of caught me by surprise because I was like, oh yeah, boos.
Boos are back. Boos are back. Apparently they were piping in some noise as well. There was a small smattering of fans, if you will. But I love it. If you're a game ops, if you have fans, if you don't have fans, you should be piping in boos. Make it realistic for your team and for the opposing team. But that was some scary stuff from the Jazz. This was close through three, but only because the Jazz were turning the ball over 18 times through the first three quarters. But when they weren't turning the ball over, they were getting pretty much any shot they wanted. And that seems to be the case with the Jazz right now. They can get a three-pointer anytime they want to. And like you said, Lee, on fire in the fourth, they made 11 threes. That's how many the Hornets made the entire game. That's how much Larry Bird made in an entire All-Star season once. The man made 11 threes. And the Jazz were doing it last night. If they shoot that well, if they're able to make 11 threes in a fourth quarter, they're title contenders. They've been the best team in the league through the first quarter of the season.
Yep.
Take your pick if they're going to actually do it in the playoffs. That's always going to be the question, but it's always fun to ride the wave when the Jazz are hot.
It's crazy. Yeah, I think this is already the third time in this season that they've set their franchise record, right, for threes made. And this is the second time here versus the Hornets. Whatever it is playing the Hornets, man, they're getting their open looks for sure and knocking them down with some consistency. Our next game, I was excited heading into the night with this one. You know, 9 o'clock start, I was like, oh yeah, perfect, here we go. It was the Blazers and the Suns, two great teams in the Western Conference. It started okay, it was competitive, but in the end, Booker scores 34 in three quarters as the Suns just rolled as this game went on. They just got stronger and stronger. 132 to 100 was the final score in this one, Lili. So a little disappointing in terms of, like, you're hoping for a competitive game. You know, Lillard, Booker, you're hoping for, like, some fourth quarter magic shot for shot. But the Suns, man, I don't know where you are with, like, including them in a legit team to go far in the playoffs. Like, are they a top four team in the West? Like, no problem? Or are that they're still, like, not there to you? I know it's going to be Jazz and then the two LA teams. Are the Suns closer to being in that group? Or are they alone by themselves? Or are they still back with your other teams like the Blazers and so on and the Nuggets? Where do you have them?
Well, right now, yes. I mean, they've been playing very good basketball recently. And I think one of the most significant evolutions for them this season has been Devin Booker's kind of post-game. I think last night, a couple of times against Lillard as well, early on, he was in there and he was going to his move, whether it's a little step-back jump shot, whether it's trying to sort of go inside for a layup, or whether it's passing out to somebody else. And I think when you look at Devin Booker, he's not a big guy. Like, he's not a big burly guy. But now he's experienced and he's understanding a little bit more how to sort of see that matchup and go, okay, I can take this guy. I can get to my spot here and knock down that little mid-ranger. And I thought that was good. And in the third quarter, he was very good. He fed DeAndre Ayton a couple of times just on the pick and rolls, where it's just like really exposing, you know, that defense with Enes Kanter there. It's like, you don't really have to do all that much. You just have to sort of keep rolling at him, and you can do that. And so that's where I thought Devin Booker was great last night, that he was kind of controlling both parts of the game, scoring when he needed to, finding his teammates when he needs to as well, and just sort of seeing a weakness and taking advantage of that matchup. And Lillard, the Blazers have been doing really well since Nurkic and McCollum went down, and Lillard's been carrying them, but he just didn't get much support at all last night. And that was the sort of more what I worried about with the Blazers, you know, when they were missing those guys, that was going to happen, that Lillard was going to have to do too much of the workload. And last night, he struggled. And then outside of him, they really didn't get anything. I think Nassir Little finished with 18 points, but that was kind of in garbage time in the fourth quarter, most of those games. So for the Blazers, they were kind of due to have, I think, one of these games against a very good team too in Phoenix, you know, playing their best basketball that Booker's ever played, I think for sure, certainly on this team. And so, yeah, it turned into a romp. And, you know, for the Suns, just having never been to the playoffs though for so long, you've got to wait till you see them in the playoffs to really know how sustainable this is and just how good they really can be.
Okay, that's fair. So, Trey, let me ask you this then. What will be a successful season for the Suns? Like, what is it, just a playoff appearance? Is it a series win? Or, you know, what do you think? Where do you have this team?
I mean, a playoff series appearance is a huge win for the Suns. They haven't made the playoffs since 2010. So just making the playoffs, I think, is a win for Phoenix this year. But they also, I think, expect to make the playoffs this year. You know, they barely missed out last year. It wasn't the playoffs, but they went 8-0 in the bubble in some playoff-like games because they needed every single one of those wins. They brought in Chris Paul. Obviously, you're thinking this is a playoff team, and they look like it so far. They've won 9 of 10, 12 of 14, but unlikely. I don't quite have them in the top tier amongst playoff teams in the Western Conference just because they've never done it. I certainly think that they could win a playoff series depending on who they end up getting matched up with in the first round. And if they go from not making the playoffs since 2010 to winning a series the first time they get back, that's two steps in one season. Big stuff.
Yeah, I'll admit, the more I watch them, the more I start to convince myself, like, just how good they are. And maybe it's just because I'm starting to catch more and more Suns games. But, man, they're top 10 on both sides of the ball. I think they're top 7 when we're talking offensive rating, defensive rating. So they're playing well on both ends. You obviously have your star in Booker, which you're going to need in a playoff series. You got your rock in Chris Paul, who's been there, done that. You love sort of how he can dictate a game. You got Mikal Bridges, who's already suddenly become, like, not even suddenly, he's become one of the best, you know, perimeter wing guys. So you're hoping you can put him on these other guys that are just scoring machines and try and slow them down in the playoffs. You know, Ayton obviously still working on his game defensively, but love his athleticism rolling. I love this team. They're fun to watch, man. They're really, really fun. And I've always been a Devin Booker fan, so it is nice to see them pick up some W's here. But
if the playoffs were today, they would actually take on the Blazers. Now, assuming the Blazers are at full strength, and even if the Suns have home court, I mean, would anyone pick them to beat a Damian Lillard Blazers playoff team? I mean, I wouldn't in that situation. Just because we've seen Lillard in the past, he always steps up his game in the playoffs. And just, again, for the Suns to get there and then have to get past someone like that, I think it'd be tough, even with Chris Paul. So, you know, I think this game in itself were very impressive, but come playoff time, completely different story, especially when the Blazers would be at full strength, assuming everyone's healthy.
Yeah, no, I get that. For sure. I think it's all matchups, absolutely, who they're getting. Because I think I'd, you know, like if the Suns were playing the Nuggets in a first-round series, I mean, that's maybe a bit more of a toss-up right now with the way the teams are playing. Spurs, I think, pretty similar. You're right, Blazers. I think some people would pick Phoenix in that. So
yeah,
we'll see. Tons of season left. But watch the Suns if you can. They're really damn good right now. Finally, the other games. I'll just run through them here. Kobe White and your Bulls, Trey, scored 24. Handed the Rockets their 8th straight loss. The Rockets can't win when Christian Wood is not playing on
this
team.
He's their best player by far.
It's insane. And nice game from Kobe White. And the Bulls, that's just like a good, like, hey, that's a nice, just go get it, take care of business type of win. You know, you're trying to prove that you are a playoff team, that you're in the mix in the East. And I know everybody's in the mix in the East, but you got to get victories like that to help your chances.
They're the number 8 seed right now, Skeets. Okay. They're in the playoffs.
There you go.
The Bulls are 2 back. A blowout against the team that they should blow out, and now we're barely talking about them.
Yeah,
they're 2 back right now.
That's
good. They need to go on like an 8-game losing streak here,
and then win, so you can say they're back again. Yeah. Well, the Heat are coming here. They pulled away to beat the Thunder 108-94. Yeah, we had Trey sneezing on yesterday's show, and you got a little cough there. You all right there, big guy?
Yeah, man.
Okay. I just like how it looks. Right. If you're watching on the stream, then this is what it looks like. Lee just comes like this. You just disappear.
I was hoping JD would go to the single shot of you then.
You look like Tay Zonde. Chocolate rain. Zonde baba, bee-boo, chocolate rain.
We had the Heat pull away to beat the Thunder, speaking of rain, 108-94. That was the finale of their road trip. That was I was watching a lot of that one too. Good game. Heat put down the clamps and rolled to victory. And then the Mavericks defeated the Grizzlies 102-92. So a couple things off this Dallas game. One, the Mavs, I forgot, hadn't played in a while, right? Because of severe weather down in Texas. They hadn't played, I don't think, since the 14th. So it had been like a week. Good defense from them, especially right from the jump. They held Memphis to 13 first quarter points, sort of took control of the game and just, you know, kept them at bay. I continue to fall for Jalen Brunson's game. I love this guy. He's good, man. He's really, really solid. 19 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal in 28 minutes of action, 7-11 from the floor, a couple threes. He just pushes the ball for him. It's sort of like a nice difference to Luka, who is like, you know, when Luka gets it and he cleans up the rebound, so he's got the ball in his hands a lot of times, like, he's not like he doesn't push it. You know what I mean? Like, he's a LeBron, like, I'm more in control. I'm going to look ahead. I'll find the guy streaking. Like, he'll pass it. Obviously, one of the best passers in the game. But he just doesn't, like, go, where Brunson's complete opposite, right? He's just, like, that speedy little guy. And that's good. A little different change in tempo there. Tim Hardaway Jr., my guy. We're still waiting on that 50 burger, but, you know, it's coming. One of these days it'll come. He had the 3 ball going. When he scores, the Mavericks win, Lee. You know, they've won 6 of their 7 games this season when he scores 20 plus. And usually when he's scoring, that means he's just hitting threes because it feels like that's sort of all he does. It feels as simple as that with the Mavericks. If Tim Hardaway Jr. has it going from 3-point land, then they got a pretty good chance to win the game. But coming up this morning here, sort of the breaking news is Porzingis might be on the trade block. The Mavericks might be looking to move him. He didn't play in last night's game. I think he was a late scratch with lower back issues. But there are reports that, you know, because of the Mavs' defense and how sort of piss poor it's looked at times, Porzingis can't really seem to guard anybody, despite being, you know, 7'3 giant. would they look to move off from Porzingis? So Lee, let's go to you first. Again, these are sort of, this was happening. I saw it this morning. Maybe it was going around late last night, but Porzingis on the block. Do you think there's any truth to this?
Yes, I do. And I think the Mavs would be wise to see if there is any interest out there, because there's a couple of issues. Offensively, he's very good. He can shoot and score from virtually anywhere because he's got that great range and length. But defensively, he isn't very good, and he hasn't really been able to sort of establish himself as a super quality, reliable defender. But also, just on top of that, it's just whether or not he can stay on the court for long periods. You know, he's in and out of lineup a lot. We know he's coming off an ACL injury he's had, and he just seems to miss games from time to time, you know, for a variety of injuries. And that happens to a lot of guys, but at his height and his size, maybe it's going to be tougher for him throughout his career just to stay on the court. So, I you know, we talked about this, I think when I was going through my Beal trade phase there.
Yeah.
I sort of assumed that Porzingis was off the table, and wrongly so. I thought the Mavs may as well just at least see what the interest is from the rest of the league, because, you know, it's, you know, they got him there to pair him with Luka. He's a younger player, and hopefully they could grow together. They sort of complement each other. But he just hasn't really been able to establish that, largely because he just can't stay on the court, I believe. So, yeah, I think the Mavericks, they gave him the big contract. They'll be, if someone's interested and they can get some, you know, a decent player or a draft pick, high draft pick in return, I think they would be more than willing to entertain that.
What do you think, Trey?
I was surprised to see the reports today, and also surprised to see that Kristaps Porzingis was second team all bubble just last season. We've seen Kristaps Porzingis be good on the Mavericks, but we've also seen him not quite live up to the expectations that were alongside of him, because like you're saying, Lee, he can score. He can score from a bunch of places. He's getting 20 points per game, but everybody gets 20 points per game these days, and he doesn't necessarily punish the defense the way that you would hope from your number two guy, because you can switch onto him and you're getting a fadeaway from Porzingis, and his fadeaway is honestly not good enough. He doesn't have the Dirk Nowitzki fadeaway at this point. That's what he should add. He's never going to be a post-up guy, but this man should be able to shoot a 17-footer over literally anybody.
Yeah.
But the Mavericks are out 2 first-round picks to the Knicks on this one, so they want to do everything they can to not have to give those picks away. I think they're both protected top 10 right now, which doesn't seem likely that the Mavericks would get there, but if Porzingis goes out for another extended period of time and you're left with basically just Luka there leading the Mavs, maybe with the way the standings are all bunched up so here, they could somehow end up in the bottom 10. I don't necessarily know, but I don't know. It just it seems too early to be moving on from Porzingis to me, but also it feels like the right time just because you don't have a lot of time to wait these days, you know? Doncic is obviously one of the best players in the league. He's going to be contending for the MVP over the next couple, 5 seasons at least. So he's in his prime. This is the window for the Mavs to win now. And Porzingis as the number two guy doesn't seem to be pushing the needle in the right way. Maybe he needs a full season of health and then we can really tell, but that seems to be a problem so far.
Yeah, again, this was sort of like late breaking news here in the morning, this Porzingis rumor for us. So we'll leave it there. But if you have a good who says no Porzingis deal, send it in, tweet it in at No Dunks Inc. Let us know in the comments. Maybe we can circle back to this on tomorrow's show or a show later this week talking about possible Porzingis deals. Or Lee, you could just get to work too, man. I mean, you know how this bad boy works now with all your Beal trades. You could anger some more fan bases with your trades. Let's do it. But yeah, that's the rumor, whether you believe it, whether there's there's some smoke to that fire right
yes,
now.
Yes, I like how it was reported the Mavericks have quietly tested interest. Like, everyone was reporting it. So it wasn't that quiet out there.
Could have been a little quieter.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, we're going to get to talking or predicting, I guess I could call it, all-star snubs, because they're naming the reserves tonight. But first, quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, tonight, the reserves for this season's All-Star Game revealed on TNT. Okay, the starters voted on by the fans, the players, and the media. Whereas the NBA head coaches, they select these reserves. So if you're going to get upset with anyone after tonight, it's the coaches you got to be upset with. So we made and debated our picks on Friday's Drop podcast. Go back and listen to Friday's Drop. Again, that's where we all made our selections. East and West, our seven reserves. In some cases, sort of eight, because we all had AD, but then we were, you know, picking the injury replacement. Lee shocked everyone, taking Gordon Hayward in the Eastern Conference. That had everyone abuzz. But ahead of tonight's announcement, I thought we could get ahead of tomorrow morning's headlines, right? Because it's going to be all about the snub. So let's play a little fill in the blank. And Trey, I want you to go first. We'll start with the East. Fill in the blank. Tonight's biggest Eastern Conference All-Star snub will be blank.
Biggest Eastern Conference All-Star snub will be Nikola Vucevic. Zero buzz for Nick Vucevic right now, but that's because the Magic aren't even where they've been for the past couple of seasons. So it kind of looks disappointing. You know, they are just 13-18, but as we've talked about, that puts you in the mix in the Eastern Conference. And Vucevic has been incredible this season. It hasn't been his fault that the Magic have been bad. There's been no Jonathan Isaac for the whole season, no Markelle Fultz for the majority of the season. Aaron Gordon has missed half the season as well. Probably the three best playmakers there for the Magic, which could be death for a big man who's not really a ball handler. You know, Vooch isn't bringing the ball up, going between his legs, making plays for everybody. But he has been an efficient, effective scorer so far this season. He's at 24 points per game. That's 18th in the league. 11 rebounds per game. That's 6th in the league. Shooting incredible percentages. 48 from the field, 40 from 3-point, 83 at the line. They're in that mess of teams that are, at the very least, trying to get into this play-in tournament, but the Magic are the only team that has zero All-Star buzz. You look at all these other teams ahead of them that are having mediocre seasons. The Knicks have Julius Randle. He'll be in the mix. Yep. Zach LaVine is in the mix. Yep. Gordon Hayward and LaMelo Ball are in the mix there for the Hornets. You got two from the Heat as well, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, starting to build a little bit of a case here. And then Trae Young, obviously, is there with the Atlanta Hawks. They're at 13-17, just a half game ahead of the Magic. Obviously, Beal is starting the game. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be on a good team this year to make an All-Star team. You just have to be putting up some big numbers. Vooch is putting up big numbers, but the Magic have even less buzz somehow than they usually have. You know, they've really fallen away from the national consciousness. Not that they were ever there, but at least they've been a playoff team the past couple of seasons. Vooch has been balling. He's not going to make the All-Star team. People aren't going to be that mad about it. We're not going to be making love in the snubs, but I'm fine with it. Vooch, just like Skeets is going to support every single guard who plays in the NBA, I will support every single big man in the NBA.
Yeah, you got to go to bat for your guys.
That's right.
All right, Vooch is, that's a good pick. I don't see him making it tonight, and he's got incredible numbers. He's got the best numbers of his career, and he's already been an All-Star, obviously in the same conference. But you're right, on a team at the Magic at the time that were maybe a little bit better than they are right now. They have no guards. I mean, everybody's out for the Magic, and he's still putting up all these incredible numbers. So Vooch Island, yeah, that will be one of the names that we'll be hearing tomorrow morning. Where are you going to go, Lee? Pick somebody else to keep this interesting.
Well, I'll stay with a big man and a guy who really should be in, but he may be overlooked somewhat, is Domantas Sabonis, I think, from the Indiana Pacers. Now, numbers alone, He gets in for sure. He's 21 points, 20.5 a game, 11.5 rebounds a game, and 5.5 assists a game, shooting well. And the Pacers started the season really well. And it was almost like maybe the Pacers get two All-Stars. Mm-hmm. But then they did have a little bit of a cool-off patch there where they lost 6 of 7. And just because of the way that he plays on the Pacers, I just wonder if that sort of counts against him a little bit. That they just get overlooked. You know, they're not a flashy team. They're a solid team. He's not a flashy player. He's a very solid player. And I just sort of think he was there last season, and some people thought he wasn't even deserving last season when I thought he was. So, and then in that front court on the reserves, I have Jason Tatum as a lock. Mm-hmm. I have Julius Randle as a lock. I think he gets in because it's on the Knicks. You know, it's like, hey, it's the Knicks. And Julius Randle's basically putting up those same numbers there, and the team has improved so much. The Pacers are still fourth in the East, but it's like, yeah, it's the Pacers. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sort of jump off the page at you like that. So I wonder if that counts against him as well. And then he is up against guys like Vucevic, Chris Middleton as well. Chris Middleton and the Bucks have cooled off, but Middleton's kind of got that respect vote, I think, from the coaches. Bam Adebayo, I mean, the Heat left their run a little bit late, but he could get in as well. Maybe yeah. Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's been good in the last week at the right time. He was very good. Gordon Hayward was good. Some people think Gordon Hayward's worthy of an all-star vote. So I just think in that front court / wild card spot, Sabonis is the sort of guy, you know, a lot like Vucevic there. It's like, oh, he's doing great. He's putting up great numbers. And the team is actually doing better than the Magic, but it just doesn't stand out. So he may not get the recognition he deserves.
Yep. It's going to be interesting. Again, I think Vooch is on the outside looking in. Sabonis, man, I can't decide what's going to happen tonight. Bam Adebayo, I can't decide what's going to happen tonight. I don't think Jimmy's going to ultimately be there because he missed too many games. But you brought up all those other names too, like, you know, Middleton and stuff like that. And like, who gets the nod? I mean, it could be very, very close. My answer for this, you know, tonight's biggest Eastern Conference All-Star snub will be, I'm cheating a little bit, it's going to be Ben Simmons and or Tobias Harris. I could see after tonight's reserves are announced, both of these guys not being on the roster, but or maybe one of them. And if there's only one of them, that's going to be a bit of a snub for the other guy. The Sixers, it is a weird East. Don't get me wrong, but they are the best team in the East right now. As of today, they're 20-11. So I think they're a half game up right on the Bucks. So they're number one with the bang, but it's very possible they only have one All-Star. And that's fine. I mean, Joel Embiid is starting. But maybe Simmons doesn't make it. There's a lot of guards as we've gone through. Tobias Harris, I think his chances are very tough. Very, very tough. And that's a bit of a shame because a lot of people, and I can't remember where you guys had them in or not, but Chris Middleton, right, is a bit of a lock for a lot of people. I keep seeing like a lot of as the forwards when you talk about reserves, like Tatum and Middleton are just in there. And then you start like going, okay, is it Randall, Sabonis, Bam, and all that. But if Middleton is in there, And Tobias Harris is not, it's sort of wild to me because go look at their numbers. I keep bringing this up. They're basically the exact same player and they have basically the exact same record. And they're obviously like the second or third best player on their team. So it's like, you know, why the love or why the support for Middleton and very, very little for Tobias Harris? That's where I'm just left scratching my head a little bit. I don't think he's going to get in. And that's going to be a bit of a snub. Simmons, Lee, I don't know if he gets in or not because... Is Simmons like the Rudy Gobert of the East, you know? Whereas the numbers are not going to blow you away. I mean, they're 16-8-8. That's really, really good. But it's more of his defensive impact, right? Just like Gobert in the West, and you respect that, and you're like, wow, game changer on that end. I think the same could be said for Simmons, especially as a perimeter player, which is pretty wild. But does that get the recognition from the coaches when you've got big game scorers like Trae Young, Zach LaVine, I have as a lock, Jaylen Brown, of course, now he's not a starter, so, you know, Harden's going to be picked. I don't know. I think the Sixers, after tonight, could maybe just have Joel Embiid as an all-star, despite having the best record in the Eastern Conference. You agree, disagree, Lee?
Yeah, Simmons, I think, is an interesting one because of the numbers. The pure raw numbers are just not as big as some of those other guys getting 23, 25 a game, even though, you know, Simmons does more for his team in terms of the defensive impact and he gets the assists. And we just know he's not a huge scorer of the ball. But he has been there the last 2 years, and the fact that the Sixers have the best record, I sort of feel that will help his case. That people will be like, yeah, Tobias Harris, we thought he was an all-star a couple of years ago in the Clippers when he was with Doc Rivers and he didn't quite make it. Now he's in Philadelphia. He wasn't all that good last season. He's had a better season, but I think Simmons is still the second best player and more deserving of those two. But Harris, again, in that sort of glut of forwards, front court, whatever you want to call it there in the Eastern Conference, he's in the mix. I just don't see him getting in. Certainly, I don't see him getting in over Ben Simmons. But maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. I mean, get rid of positions. Just make it seven players.
Well, they sort of do get rid of positions. Let's be honest. When it comes to the reserve players, they don't care all that much. I wonder, like, it's funny you say that. You reminded me, like, maybe Simmons, because he's made a last couple, we know his impact on both ends. He's just, when he's out there, they're just a better team. Does he start to get, like, the Kyle Lowry respect vote? You know what I mean? Like, Lowry was sort of like, you know, not even those type of numbers over the last couple of years at times. But you just knew, like, oh, the Raptors were good because of Lowry. Not this year as much. It's probably Van Vliet's team now, and he might be a snub for crying out loud. But it's like, yeah, he's just, the coaches know, like, no, come on. That he's instrumental to their success, so he's an all-star. Trey, you, I think, have Simmons, correct me if I'm wrong, making this one, no?
I have him just barely on the outs, but yeah. He's just in that mix of players who, you know, pick four of them and any of them could make it. But I think the easiest way to make an all-star team is to have previously made an all-star team, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're a coach and you're looking at the Sixers, you're planning for Joel Embiid, number one, and then you're telling your guards, be very careful around Ben Simmons. The guy's one of the best perimeter defenders on the planet. So, yeah, I think that Simmons certainly has a little bit more respect from the coaches than Tobias Harris. You know, his stats are similar to Chris Middleton, but I don't really think his case is similar at all. Middleton's been the go-to guy in the fourth quarter for the Bucks, and he's done a pretty good job up until recently. Mm-hmm. You know, during the start of the season, he was money, no doubt about it. He's still shooting well, but I think Simmons seems to be having a little bit of a chance here to be making it with the Defensive Player of the Year buzz, and the Sixers obviously playing incredibly well so far this season. We've also seen a couple of nice scoring games from Ben Simmons recently, which is a good time to time your case. So I wouldn't be surprised if Simmons made it. I've got him on the outside looking in, but just barely.
All right, let's hear from you guys with that one. Fill in the blank there in the stream team. Biggest Eastern Conference All-Star snub will be blank after tonight. Let's go to the West. Let's start with you, Lee. Fill in the blank. Tonight's biggest Western Conference All-Star snub will be who?
I think the biggest snub in the West will be Brandon Ingram because last season he was an all-star and he is putting up incredibly similar numbers this season. But I think two factors go against him. The Pelicans have been a little bit disappointing right now coming out the start of the season. He's been good, but they are 13 and 17 right now. But I think the biggest factor going against him is that he's being overshadowed by Zion. Zion, I think, has done enough to get in, but I just don't see the Pelicans getting two front court players there simply because of their record. Yeah. And, you know, I think Ingram, again, based on you know, what he did last year to get in versus this year, it's the same. But then you look at the other front West court, I believe these three are locks. Rudy Gobert, Paul George, and Anthony Davis. Now, Davis may not play, of course. And then it's someone like, I think, DeRozan will probably get in over Brandon Ingram as well. I think the Spurs, you know, they've been quietly just, you know, chugging along there at 16-11. I think he's their all-star if they get one. So for me, Ingram, you know, he's been good. I think he's been very good. He certainly started off the season, I thought, better than Zion. But Zion lately has started to really improve. You know, he's leading the team in scoring, and it's just very, very difficult to see them getting both in. I mean, Zion's not a lock, but...
No, I actually think tonight Zion Williamson will not be named.
You think, yeah,
as an all-star reserve, because I think Anthony Davis, you know, takes his spot, and then I have a feeling that Zion will be the injury replacement. That's what my gut says, but
yeah.
But yeah, you're right. And Brandon Ingram, I don't think, is going to be there after tonight, and you're right. He's got, you know, really incredible numbers. Compares well to last year's when he was an all-star, but they've disappointed, and Zion probably has gone above him in the pecking order. And I think that's fair, but... He'll be included in the snub list. Trey, where are you going with this one?
Similar to the Pelicans only getting one all-star, I think the Suns are only getting one all-star. So based on Devin Booker having an incredible game last night, Chris Paul is my big snub in the Western Conference.
Mm.
I don't know if last night counts in the voting, but if it does, that was a great case for Devin Booker. They're both worthy all-stars, but there are a lot of worthy all-stars, especially in the Western Conference this year. Chris Paul, no doubt, instrumental to the Suns. He's been clutch again, but... He's at 16-5-8, which is great for your second guy, but he just got to the team. He helped raise the Suns' ceiling. He helped raise the Suns' floor, but this is still Devin Booker's team. He's leading the team in scoring. He's obviously their go-to guy, and he's the guy you think of first when you think of the Suns. I think he is a lock, Devin Booker, and I think Chris Paul, despite the fact that he has had a great season, he's just going to be, maybe he gets the Legends pick, you know? Remember we had that Legends pick for Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki? They're basically like, we need to get these guys there. We just want to see him hanging out. They need to do that again. Maybe that's how Chris Paul gets in this year. But I don't think the Suns are getting two, and I think Booker is the guy.
I think you're right. I agree with that one, too. There's going to be a lot of deserving, especially guards in the West, that are not going to make this team because there's just not enough spots. And people are going to be going like, oh, what? You know, Chris Paul, De'Aaron Fox, and stuff like that. Like, these guys have had amazing seasons. Where are they? I'll add one more to the mix. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's not going to make it, I don't think, tonight. I have been surprised seeing him on some people's lists. I know you mentioned that, Trey. Mm-hmm. There have been some others out there like saying, look at what he is doing in OKC. Putting up 23 points per game, you know, 6.5 assists, 5 boards, shooting 50% from the floor, 40 from 3. He's their only true offensive threat on OKC, but That Thunder 12-19 record sure doesn't help his chances. I think all of this is good for me winning my bet with TK. Moving into next season, I got one more year of hopefully getting SGA in. And if he plays like that, and they're more of a 500 team, then we're maybe talking and he's in there next year. But I just wanted to read you, the listeners, and everyone joining us on the stream team, the eight guys who played with SGA last night versus Miami. I don't know how many of you out there are watching OKC games. Again, I watched a lot of this one. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and then these eight guys. It's pretty wild when you think of this team. Now, Dort, all right, all cap locks, exclamation mark, Dort. We all love Dort. Of course, one of the best defensive players in the game. He's a streaky offensive player. He had a rough, rough night last night. 1 of 8 from 3, 3 of 15 from the floor. But he's there. Okay, everybody knows Dort. Then these are the other seven guys. Theo, don't call me Theo Maladone, okay? A lot of people, if I showed you his photo, you'd have no idea who he is. Darius Bazley.
Hold on a second, Skeets. Do you think that Flaky Salt could be a good nickname for Theo Maladon? Theo
like
Flaky
it.
Salt Maladon.
I like it a lot. Darius Bazley. Okay, now, young guy. We were giving away his Top Shot moments on the Hot Boys, or the Top Shot Hot Boys show we did last week. So, like, okay. If we're giving away moments, I mean, prices are going through the roof here with everything. So that tells you all you need to know about him right now. Isaiah Roby. Okay, he's starting. These were the starters I just gave you, by the way. Kendrick Williams, Hamidou Diallo, Mike Muscala, and Justin Jackson. That's the team right now, Lee. My point is, SGA has done really well this year with not a whole lot. And now I know there's like Horford and there's George Hill. They're not playing there. Those are some, that's a young team. There's a bunch of who's who on that team. and SGA does not have a ton of help around him. So for him to put up the numbers he's doing at the efficiency he's doing it at is really impressive in a third year situation. He could very much be like other guys we've talked about in years prior, your Bookers and stuff like that. Oh, big numbers, but like not the greatest percentages and you're on a crap team. You can't really say the same for SGA. So that, that's wild. I just like that caught me by surprise, some of those names. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very good player. He's a very good player, but it's all about the talent you have around you to really maximize that and to see the value that he can bring. But when Sam Presti made the trade, he was like, yeah, give me that young player. I think Gilgeous Alexander's pretty good. And it'd be interesting to see what his future holds because, you know, they've got all the draft picks there out in OKC, but now you've got to turn them into something. You know, you can't just keep running out these sort of lineups and these sort of teams, especially when you're a small market like the Thunder. So they need to cash in on those draft picks and be back to being a big, you know, competitive team again, because they were for a lot of years there. And it's not really the free agent destination either of choice for a lot of players.
No, it's not. But, you take Horford and George Hill off that team. My God, are they young. I actually had forgotten about Justin Jackson, too. I was like, oh, yeah, Justin Jackson. He used to play for the Mavericks. I remember getting excited about him for a couple weeks there when he was there. Yeah. And then he's like the eighth guy on the Thunder right now, and they're basically tanking. So, yeah, they're going to get some great draft picks here. So you're right, Lee. If they can capitalize, you got a building block in SGA. There's no doubt about that. The guy looks like could be a star in this league and already maybe is. He's on the borderline. So good stuff there. He won't be making it. He'll be a snub, but I will not cry tomorrow. We'll just have to roll it over one more year, TK and I. It'll make it exciting. That's good. That's what we want.
That's
right.
That's right.
It'd be almost disappointing if he got in. It'll make it better for next year. Okay. We got Tweet of the Night still, but first, our final break to hear from our sponsors.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for no dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Lee, have you ever considered shaving your arms?
No way.
Yeah.
Look at these babies.
Whoa. Look at these babies.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, man.
You're going to need more than 5 blades for those, my man.
We got to wait for Harry's to get up to 6, 7, maybe.
Yeah.
Get on those Robin Williams arms. Yeah. All right. Just yeah. curious.
You know, it'll slow you down in the pool, man.
Yeah, man.
Nah, it's all right.
All right. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
JD, my man, what do you got for Tweet of the Night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Struggling this morning.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like going on Twitter at night. I follow... Well, here's the problem. There's a bunch of problems with me doing Tweet of the Night. Number one, I don't follow enough NBA people.
Right.
So it's hard to find something that's NBA related, but
doesn't,
that doesn't sometimes
need to be. Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
need to be. It doesn't, but I like it to be because it is a show about the NBA.
Is it though?
You're right. I'm also another problem is that I'm very susceptible to falling down rabbit holes, so I get distracted very easily. Tass sent me a tweet from Mark Gillette this morning asking his Twitter followers, what's the best music venue in America? It's pretty simple. It's House of Blues in Houston. That's where we all went to see Flo Rida that time for Chuck's 50th birthday. Sound was awesome in there. Case closed. Then I considered maybe playing the audio recorded on Mars that they released.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's very exciting. Don't get me wrong. Windsock, maybe next time NASA. Just it's literally what the sound is the gust of wind on a microphone.
Maybe we could send Trey's orange thing on it.
Right. Yeah, you
how
pop
much
filter.
Money they spent on that and didn't put so a windsock on it.
Somebody forgot it.
Hey,
sure.
But if they had a windsock, you wouldn't have heard the wind, right? So there would only be the zzz of the rover itself. So I guess, you know. That's fine. I also ended up literally 5 minutes before the show. I was very deep into a video essay about the dinner scenes in all of the Steven Spielberg movies that he's made and how he uses the dinner table as a device. And I'm like, what am I doing? This, the show is about to start here. So it's not good. Anyway, this is the tweet I went with. It's basketball related, barely.
Okay.
Tim Bontemps. He tweeted about Jack Armstrong saying Jack Armstrong is delightfully insane, which makes him a very fun listen during Raptors games. This is 100% true. We love Jack. And Gourmet Spud, this is the tweet. He basically doubles down and confirms Tim's tweet saying Jack calling a game makes it 5 to 10% more enjoyable. It's been so fun to listen to the chemistry between him and Devlin develop over the years. They are like a seasoned comedy duo now. Also 100% true.
Yep.
I just wanted to include this tweet because, you know, shout out to Jack Armstrong. Shout out to the NBA. It's an NBA related tweet. And shout out to Gourmet Spud. He's one of my favorite followers on Twitter. He's consistently funny. So let's bring some attention to Spud and get him some followers. Get his followers up on this.
Potatoes. Gourmet Spud. Yeah, it's a good tweet. That was from the other night, for sure. I agree with that tweet from Tim, too. And it's true. I listen to a lot of Raptors games, and we, of course, are big fans of Jack, Devlin, and Leo, if I'm being honest.
Of course.
But Jack and Devlin, I mean, they really are. Like, the comedy duo is the best way to explain them.
Yeah.
And they've just worked on their bits. They've worked on their material over the years. They know what works, what doesn't. Jack going to commercial break is always gold. Like, it's funny every time. And he's got his catchphrases, get the garbage out of here and all that. I think it's like, it's gone to another level too, I think, during the pandemic. Because those two guys, they're in Toronto, right? Like, they're not traveling. So there's like no fatigue from, you know, all the flights and stuff like that and all the hotels. They're just there in Toronto. They get together at the arena and just watch, basically like we're watching a television screen, and then are just like cracking jokes like nonstop. It's like our
happy hours. I think sometimes they even forget that people are watching, you know.
100% 100% they're having some fun this year. And you should be. Anyway, they make for a good listen, a good watch listen, whatever you want to call it. All right, Gourmet Spud, Tim Bontemps, Jack Armstrong, Devlin. Hello! Getting tweet. I love that video. You shared it the other day, I think, Lee.
Yeah.
The video. I forgot we took a video with Jack Armstrong down at the Fortress here in Atlanta. And we're all with him, and he does like his little spiel, right? And I think we all did a drop to get that garbage out of here, right? Is that what we did? Or no,
we did a hello, and then he said, I'm hanging with the starters, so how about a little hello? and then he says, get that garbage out of here.
And we're all yelling at you. It's a great clip. All right. Tweet of the night. Good stuff, JD. You found a good one there, man.
Yeah.
Great work.
We got there in the end.
We sure did. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. The very rare 4-man all backing the same team, doubles, and all getting it right. I mean, usually when we all back one team, it's an L for everybody, but not last night. Bulls hammer the Rockets. They only had to win by 2, for crying out loud. So that was well done, gentlemen. Everybody taking Chicago. I'm 10-6. Lee's 9-7. Tass is 8-8. Trey 7-9. Very, very, very close. So tonight's game, Boston, Dallas. Celtics favored by 1.5. This is a back-to-back situation for the Mavericks. Interesting game. So what did we say we were going to do here? Let's just go first to Tass. Let's find out who Tass is picking, because Trey's in last. He gets to pick last. So let's find out from Tass what his selection is.
Well, come back to Tass, because it's not here.
There we go. Okay. So, Lee, why don't you go first?
Yeah, we good, JD?
Go ahead, Lee.
Go ahead.
Okay. Tough one there. I'll take the Celtics. I'll give you the Celtics.
Okay, wow. The one time, Lee, we could really use you going.
Tap dances every
and
other
this
time. This
time,
time it's a rapid fire answer.
Man, Jesus.
Yeah.
This is live TV here, Lee. Stretch it out a little bit.
Close line. Celtics not playing their best basketball.
There we go.
You know, the Mavericks, good win last night, but, on a back-to-back and against a team, they should have beaten the Grizzlies. Porzingis, not sure if he'll
JD,
play
tonight.
JD, are
you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, good.
I think I'm ready.
But I'll take the Celtics to win by 2 points.
Great breakdown. Let's find out who Tass is.
The Celtics are alternators roundup. So they're going to round up themselves a win after a loss. What?
Oh my god. This guy's going crazy down there in the basement at 5 in the morning. Alright, Tass took the Celtics. Look, I'll make things interesting. I think, give me the Dallas Mavericks. I don't want us all picking the same team. So let's find out who Trey, though. Trey's the one trailing, so he might have to switch it up. Trey, where do you want to go?
Beantown Boys versus the horse meat sandwiches. Gonna be tough, but I think I'm going with the beans here. Back to back for Dallas. Got a little controversy with the Porzingis trade rumors. It's gonna affect him. They're gonna lose by more than 2.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm the only one taking Dallas. I'm gonna regret this. I can see it already. Like, I could have played this super, super conservative and just kept my lead. But we'll make it interesting. I'm Dallas. Everybody else is Celtics to win by 2. Good luck, gentlemen. Okay, fun show. Let's call it there. Guys, email us your NBA questions for tomorrow's Beach Step and podcast. Email them in nodunks@theathletic.com. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Come on, if I'm being honest, we've slowed down in the total subscription game. It's like, you know, we caught fire there. We eclipsed 30,000. Yep. And now we've slowed a little bit. Let's get that momentum going again. Let's get on the march to 40K. So please subscribe if you haven't already to No Dunks on YouTube. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com. We showed you yesterday Lamar Hurd looking fresh in the No Dunks sort of basketball logo we got going.
High school vibe.
Oh, there are GDs on top of that one, baby. That's looking fresh there, Lamar Hurd. So go grab yours, nodunks.com, and subscribe to The Athletic already. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks, $3.99 a month. All right, All-Star Reserves announced tonight. So we will be back for sure on tomorrow's Daily Show talking about the snubs and the big surprises and all that. In addition to all the games that are on tonight, I think there's, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's a lot of games on once again.
The big one.
Yeah, it's like a 10 or 11 game night. So we'll break down as many as we can. Enjoy them. We'll see you tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, forget Red Rocks. Forget the Gorge. Forget CBGBs. The best music venue in all of America is the House of Blues in Houston. We saw Flo Rida there. Flo Rida.
And Pitbull. Don't forget.
And Pitbull.
Wow. Whoa. I don't remember that part. Was I in the bathroom? Embrace the day, people.